Let's all turn to the psalm. We have been reading Psalm 45, a psalm that carries the title Maskil, or in the pronunciation closer to the Hebrew, Maskil. 12 psalms carry this title, Psalm 32 being the first of the series. And the word, peculiar looking as it is, means to teach wisdom, to instruct one in the wisdom of heaven, to cause one to be wise in heavenly things. Psalm 32, the first of these special teaching psalms, has to do with salvation, the justification of the sinner. And if one wants to learn the wisdom of heaven, the first department, the first class in the school of teaching surely is in respect to justification, in respect to salvation. We need to learn about that. But by the time we get to Psalm 45, we're learning about the king, you see. This is where the teaching matter comes in. And in verse 1 it says, "My heart is inditing a good matter." In the English, the word indite means to put into writing. And this the translators have arrived at by the significance of the tongue as a pen of a ready writer. And in order to help that comparison, the translators have suggested that the heart is putting into writing these things, these good things concerning the Lord himself. Look at your Bible, because the psalmist is saying, "I speak of the things which I have made touching the king." My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Some have little to say about the Lord if they're asked. Some are embarrassed to talk about the Lord or even mention his name. But the psalmist is not in that category. From the depths of his heart, in his contemplation of Christ, he's saying, "I'm ready to speak about him. And when my heart is overwhelmed with the goodness of God and with the magnitude of his mercy, my tongue becomes the pen of a ready writer. I become a scribe. And my tongue, just like a pen, begins to spell out all that my heart has contemplated concerning Christ the Lord." Oh, the Savior is the great King. The church, the bride of Christ, her garments are all glorious within. But insofar as she is related to Christ and seen here in the context of that relationship with Christ, her glory within and without all belongs to him. I speak of the things touching the King. Today we're going to continue along the line developed in past Lord's days. We have been speaking about the anointing of God, that particular ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are to learn from verse 7 that the Messiah, the Savior, is one who will love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And since that anointing oil was specially compounded, there would be a fragrance to it. Hence, verse 8 reads, "All thy garments," as the anointing, the sacred anointing, begins to flow from the top of the head and over the garments that he's wearing, those garments of his will be impregnated with the fragrance of the ointment. Verse 8, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces." And if we think of the city four square, the New Jerusalem, the ivory palaces, the palace of the great King in the glory, then the fragrance of this ointment reminds one of those palaces, the abode of the great King. And the more the Holy Spirit comes upon the people of God, anointing them with the Spirit of Christ, the more they will be surrounded with the fragrance of heaven itself. There is nothing in the world to perfume the life of the Christian The world is filled with corruption. The world is a place of rottenness. And only the child of God, in his fellowship with the King, in his walk in heavenly places, carrying the fragrance of heaven with him, only the child of God then has a ministry of Christ to perform. How important it is to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. As we said last Lord's Day, all believers are anointed in Christ. It is your privilege as a believer to be brought into Christ and to have fellowship with him in all the privileges of the saints of God. But there is too an experiential anointing, a definite experience with God to which one may testify, as our Lord Jesus did, taking up the words of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." If we refer to that passage in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61, it will be seen that the anointing is certainly related to the joy of God. We have noted this in the Psalm. "Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." The hymn writer who said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, then well may I be glad." There is a joy for the people of God. We may feel like singing all the time if we're living with the fragrance of Christ around us. If we allow ourselves to be plunged into a worldly environment, if we allow ourselves to be plunged into our own environment where we're submerged under the weight of our own pressures, then we'll not feel like singing. But if we put on those garments that carry the anointing, garments that have the perfume of heaven about them, we will remember that the anointing we have received is the anointing of the oil of gladness. The oil of gladness. And there is something we have to emphasize in this service, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost invests the believer with gladness. We have a joy unspeakable and full of glory in the Lord. Notice the context of this in Isaiah 61. And we'll be referring to this chapter again later in the service. Suffice to say, at this time, if we take the opening lines, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings, to preach the gospel," then I want you to look a little further down, verse 3. And remember, this third verse is in the context of the anointing of the Spirit of God to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and what? The oil of joy. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Here again, the anointing of the Holy Spirit has to do with a definite work, namely the preaching of the Word of God. But more than that, that anointing oil is called the oil of joy. And before in the Psalms, it was called the oil of gladness. One therefore who is anointed of God will carry the joy of the Lord. Without the anointing, one will not have that joy. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And sometimes the child of God, when he is down in the depths and weakness pervades his whole being, he loses the joy. Remember this, it's your privilege to have the joy of God. The Lord has called you to the cross. He has saved you by his grace. It's not God's will for you to be overwhelmed with wretchedness or misery. It's not God's will for you to be cast down under the weight of your afflictions. Let's see again how this is brought out in the Psalms. If we turn to a very familiar Psalm 23.
verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This psalm has such a place in our hearts. We tend to think of every verse apart, one verse apart from the other. We tend to segment the psalm in such a way that we lose sight of the whole. We start off with verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We think so much about that, we kind of detach it from the rest of the psalm. We think about lying down in the green pastures or being led beside the still waters. We think about the soul being restored and of the Lord leading us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But the psalm is a unit, and the verses belong together. Let me, in order to assist you in the doing of this, bring together verses 4 and 5. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow," the Christian may be in the shadow. The Christian may be in the valley. The Bible does not hide reality from view. The Bible does not say to the Christian, "Oh, you're going to have such joy that your life will be in the sunshine all the time. There will never be a cloud to darken the horizon. There will never be a valley into which you will be constrained to descend. You'll never have a trial. You'll never have a problem. Never a heartache. Never a burden. Never a tear." The Bible says no such thing. But rather, if we recollect what we have been learning already from Isaiah 61, for example, the oil of joy for mourning. And the Lord has provided for the believer, given those times of affliction, given the sadness of his soul, given that he's down in the valley of the shadow, the Lord has made provision for him while he's there. The oil of joy for mourning. You can lay special claim to the anointing of the Holy Ghost with the oil of gladness in times of heartache and grief, in times of suffering, in times of infirmity. When your heart is heavy, you can say, "Lord, give me the joy of heaven. Anoint me with the oil of gladness." Now, Psalm 23 brings this out. There's verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." The Lord can feed you down in the valley or out there in the wilderness when there's nothing but desolation around. But he says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Do you see that? "My cup runneth over." There's the joy. My cup is running over. Someone creating a little chorus out of this put together the words, "My cup is filled and so is my saucer." That was just an amusing way of putting it, but it certainly conveys the message.